DH Unplugged is supported by Our Crowd. Our Crowd helps you invest early in pre-IPO companies alongside professional venture capitalists. If you're interested in investing, you need to join Our Crowd for free at OurCrowd.com/DHU.
Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
And I am Andrew Horowitz.
And here it is, the 22nd of June, on our way to a fiver.
Again?
Five shows.
Didn't we just have that?
June. No, not yet.
Gotta raise the price. Gotta raise the price.
I think we did a fiver in, it wasn't February, that's for sure.
We gotta raise the prices, man.
Yeah.
Let's double them. That's what I say. Everybody else is doing it.
That's what they do.
You got
shortage.
It's unbelievable. I mean, we should have podcastflation. I think that's only reasonable.
Podflation.
Yeah. Well,
we just do what everybody else does, just cut the show in half.
Right. Yeah. There you go. Then what's that called? That's shrinkflation, right?
Yeah. Shrinkflation.
Shrinkageflation.
Do a 35-minute show.
Well, hello to everybody in the chat room, all the newbies in there as well. If you want, you can join us each and every Tuesday night. If you're listening on a recorded line here, well, checking in, check. You can come over to DH Unplugged. There is a live chat as well as a live stream and a chat. We also run on the No Agenda stream. So if you listen to that, a lot of people do. You can listen to us here every Tuesday at 9 o'clock in the evening Eastern time. So make sure to join us. And we'd start off the show as we always do with a couple of little things, some stories, some ideas, some warm-ups, right? That's what we do?
Yep.
So we're going to talk about some warm-ups. And the hot weather is here. I was out once again, as I do every single day, pretty much every day. I would say 5 to 6 times a week easily. That I go out and I do a little bit of a jog, a run, a kind of walk, and then a run and a jog. And oftentimes I'm listening to John and to Adam on the No Agenda stream, No Agenda podcast, which they have. Of course, it's Thursdays. I'm all screwed up tonight. Thursdays and Sundays. And I was listening to it this week and, you know, listening to all the things that are going on. And you really had it in for media this weekend, didn't you?
I did.
You did.
I usually have it in for media all the time.
Right, but you were kind of sick, disgusted. You're no longer watching it anymore, and there was a kind of a
well, that's...
Right?
It's not absolutely true, because I have to watch it to get clips.
I think that there was a discussion that you were watching CNN or something, and Adam was going to call in some kind of, like, a concerned force, because you are unfortunately going far and above and away. Listening to that on for a full day. But you were kind of like done with it, though, it seemed. It's like kind of there's nothing worthwhile anymore. It's one-sided.
Well, I believe this is true anyway, yes.
Yeah. Well, it's the same thing with the financial media, to be honest with you. Right?
They've deteriorated somewhat, yes, I'd say.
And, I mean, it used to be very, I would say, I don't know, evenly, not even, but it was balanced. It was more balanced, right? Wouldn't you agree with that? More balanced?
Well, you know, it always seemed to me, I have this theory about financial media, and that is that unless it's giving you stock tips, nobody cares. And so when it was balanced, it was doing like stories, investigations or whatever. It really was always bound up with stock tips. So if they'd go after some company, it would give you a clue. Maybe it's a stock you shouldn't invest in. And more recently, they've kind of lost their way because, like a lot of these things, they have these professional journalists who don't know anything about the stock market, and they want to write about, you know, about charities and just things that are not stock tips.
Yeah.
Let's put it that way.
Right.
And so you don't get any information because why am I reading any of this? I don't care.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unless you're giving me a stock tip.
Right. The whole point of me listening is to find out information on investments and stocks. That's what people do nowadays. They go to podcasts and other areas, maybe not for tips, but for education. And
well, we have lots of tips. We do tips mostly.
Yeah,
I think our show is mostly tips.
We do. Well, let's talk about what's going on. Hot weather down here. It's hot as hell. How does that, like, to a point that if you weren't used to it, you would drop and fall over. It's
how hot is it?
It is so hot.
Is it Arizona hot? I don't think so.
It doesn't. No, no. I'll tell you what it is. It's 90 degrees with 80% humidity.
Ah,
it's nasty.
Yeah, Arizona's 110 with no humidity, which is different.
Totally different. You know, that's a scorcher, but it's livable. You know, but the problem with that is the wind.
Because you can stay cool.
Yeah. This week we had the Powell adjustment where he came in and talked about the idea that, well, yeah, maybe there is some inflation out there. I'm thinking maybe possibly we're seeing some prices, and talked a little bit about, well, we're going to have maybe some rate increase in the future, and kind of got a little bit more, he didn't get hawkish. He got less dovish. And what's interesting about that is markets wobbled. And then I said, I think it was on Thursday or Friday, I'm like, well, how long is it going to take till the Fed starts walking this back? And lo and behold, this week's schedule is absolutely lined with the parade of Fed speakers, the ones that are voting members, non-voting members. And what are they doing? Hedging. So that's what's going on. We saw a big drop in the markets last Friday, like a 500-point move of the Dow. NASDAQ was picking up again. Rates actually came down on the long end. What was really interesting was...
That's odd.
We saw rates come up on the short end, rates down on the long end, and there was an overall flattening of the yield curve.
Oh, that's not good.
No. Flattening is not good. So just for those of you that are listening and have no idea what that means, usually you have the shortest of the bonds, maybe the 1 month, the 3 month, the 6 month, the 1 year, lower yield than the longer bonds, the 10, the 30 year. Well, that's usually the standard way you look at a yield curve. It's kind of from bottom left to top right when you put it on a chart, and you see that that's the case. Well, right now what's happened is we've kind of pushed down the right side of the chart, lifted up a little bit the left side of the chart, so you see a flattening versus a normalized curve. The worst thing that can happen is an inverted curve where the short side, the left side, goes up too much and the right side or the long side is below.
Yeah, that's bad.
Yeah,
bad. Is worse.
Right. So we're not there yet, but there's kind of that push going on because there is the thought that they're going to increase rates sooner than expected, sooner before that 2023. I don't know, it makes me laugh every time talking about how they can't even fork. Listen.
They can't even forecast next week.
They can't. It's impossible.
It's like global warming, by the way.
What they do is they forecast and they make themselves look really good, the Fed, with their outward views that they're so positive on. And we're all like, yeah, they're right. Yeah. You know, and what happens is that just last week, when they came out with their discussion about their anticipated inflation, they said, we've been calling for 2.4% for 2021, 2022. We've just changed that forecast. We've upped it to 3.4%. We're not talking about a smidge. We're talking about a 50% wrong factor.
Yeah.
50%. And we're like, oh yeah, they're wrong. So now they're right. Oh, we'll follow along. Now they're right. You know what I mean? It's
terrible.
It's unbelievable how we all just go along with this stuff. It's amazing about how much there is this needed belief in the Fed so much that we're willing to just bet everything on it because we believe everybody else is betting on it too. It's kind of crazy. We have a happy belated Juneteenth, sir. Happy belated Juneteenth to you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And
I bitched about this on the agenda show.
Yeah, I did hear that. And we have a buy the dip, only a mere flesh wound. Remember what movie that's from?
Yeah, the one of the Monty Python films.
Yep. But the coin is united. We were down by 28,000 today. 28,000 and change on Bitcoin. Ethereum dropped, Neo dropped. Bitcoin Cash dropped, the whole, you know, it's not just Bitcoin.
It all goes down together.
All goes down, goes up together. Then all of a sudden turned around midday and it just went straight up. So what you have here is the coiners united, I guess. Everybody got together and we're very excited about getting it up, moving it up again. And they did the same thing tonight. They dropped it about 1,000 points and then bam, up 800 points last I saw. Let's take a look where it is right now. As a matter of fact, Bitcoin currently trading at, wow, and Kiev's still going, 34,195.
Ethereum. It's up over the 33. It's on a move.
Its low was, I'll tell you the low today. Low was 28,000. What is that? 28,800. Straight up from 32,400 to 34,000 in the last 30 minutes. 2,000 points, 8%.
Yeah, there's one of your great investments.
Jeez, crazy. All right, market update. The Fed clearly spooked with their hawkish talk. And the main thing was, and we're going to talk about this because this is really what happened. What really is behind the nervousness and what happened last week, aside from quad witching and some other things, was a slight adjustment to rates that was in the back. In the background, it wasn't a change in the quantitative easing, the $120 billion per month. Nope. It wasn't really a change to, it wasn't changed at all to the interest rate that everybody looks at, right? You know, the Federal Reserve rate and all that. Discount rate, none of that. It was this little bitty move in the background, which we're going to talk about in a couple of minutes. We have a new tone on China, realizing that it's not a democracy or free market. Everybody's like, well, wait a minute. Maybe China isn't a democracy. We thought it was a place that you have to be fair. Do you know how many people have said to me, I don't understand why, how could China do that? I think, what do you mean? Well, they just locked up a guy for doing this or that in the corporate world. I'm like, yeah. What is surprising here? Do you find that surprising?
No, not at all. I'm surprised they don't do it more.
I don't understand. You do not follow the rules in China, go along with the plan, stay in line with the government. You're gonna get whacked. You're gonna be taken with a black bag over your head to some place and they're gonna sit you down. Have a little chat with you, right?
It's what it seems like, yeah.
And people are like, oh my God.
It's their system.
It's their system.
The question is, at some point we're gonna have to ask the question of ourselves. Is it compatible with our system? It may be incompatible, and we just haven't realized it yet.
But I think the funny thing is when people are like, it's not fair. I can't believe they did that. What kind of place is it? I'm like, what are you talking about? It's China.
It's a system they have. You know, I don't even get worked up about it. Guy screws up. They take him out and shoot him. That's what they do.
Yeah.
It is the way they operate their system. It's 1.4 billion people. It's hard to manage. They're all independent thinkers. A lot of them are slightly corrupt, as any large population, and they have to control it somehow, and they have their mechanism, and it includes locking people up and shooting them and creating concentration camps for Uyghurs and then making them do slave labor, and then we buy the price. We're the ones that are more, you know, if we don't like it, we shouldn't be working with them so closely.
Yeah, I find the whole... But for the whole naivete of, you know, oh, you know, people thinking everybody's like United States where they have the freedoms that we have here. So ridiculous. Don't you think?
It's always baffled me that people don't have a grasp of this the way it is. Go to China and hang out. It's actually a nice place.
It is a nice place if you can get there. What else we have? Meme stocks are starting to lose interest. AMC and GME just kind of like move up and down a little bit. GME moved up 10% today because there was some news about something. Crypto is whacked. Of course, we saw that. Amazon Prime Days. What did you buy? Anything? Did you buy something?
You know, I usually just ignore the whole thing. But this time I said, well, let me, because I got a note in them, you know, when I first got to the computer in the morning, I started going, there's nothing to buy. I want to get a discount Echo. I don't want an Echo at all.
No, nothing that can listen to you overtly, automatically.
There's nothing that they have on sale or for sale that I've never seen cheaper or even by Amazon standards cheaper. It's just the whole thing is a joke to me. I don't understand why people get all worked up about it. They've oversold it.
There are things that you can get. It's assuming that you need them and you happen upon. The only time I've ever got a deal is like, all right, I need that. And I'm like, oh, it's $30 less today. That's good. That's the only thing that sticks out to me.
I think a couple of years ago, I bought something because it was, again, exactly what you said, something I needed. And so I, and there it was, and it was happened to be Amazon Prime Day, and I bought it. And I, I saved 10 bucks or something along those lines. Not much.
Let's get into what the Fed did. So again, nothing of consequence during the meeting, except admitting that the inflation was moving higher than they thought, projecting 3.4%. Okay. What they did was they adjusted the Fed's facility return rate up to 0.05% from zero. They also
Now this is what you're going to explain. How does this work?
Then they also adjusted their interest on excess reserves to 0.15 from 0.10. Not a lot there. So what happened when they did that was when they increased the rate, it kind of took a bit of a shock to the system because the bank's like, well, now we're not making zero anymore. We can make a little bit more. It's safe. It's guaranteed. Why keep it over here on our books? Let's give it to the Fed, or kind of that's the prompt. You give it to the Fed. You put that on interest. You get interest on the excess reserves that you put into the bank of the Fed. And what it does is it kind of sucks money out of the system. And we saw that the Fed's reverse repos surged to a record $756 billion after this rate tweak. And that's when basically, again, money is coming out of the system through this. It's kind of like just sucked it.
So it's just a little, it's like a dripping faucet.
Yeah, but once this happened, it took a chunk out. So bonds were redeemed, the money was put in, the yield curve flattened, again, still steeper than we were in the beginning of this year. But essentially, that small little change behind the scenes created a situation where $756 billion essentially was taken out of the system, or said another way, liquidity was removed, right?
That's interesting, yeah.
Liquidity was removed. And if you remember, we've talked about for how long that what is this market going on? The market is going on low interest rates, it's going on stimulus programs and liquidity. So now that three-part stool, one of the legs was just kicked out from it. So there you go.
Interesting.
So that's kind of what happened with the markets. Now, there was also quad witching, which is every option expired. So there was a lot of movement. And we had a Russell rebalance. There's another big rebound. No, excuse me. There wasn't a Russell rebalance. There was a rebalance of something. The Russell rebalance is happening this coming Friday. Massive rebalance is going to happen. A lot of stocks that were in the small cap will move up. A lot of stocks will be taken out. There'll be stocks that gain too much will be brought down in positioning. So it's going to be interesting. That's one of the reasons GameStop could also have an AMC and all these significant amount of movement because they could be brought down in percentage terms from where they are in the Russell indices to a point after some of the growth. So we'll have to kind of look at that on Friday. So
another short.
Yep. inflation, whatever. Larry Summers, he has an interesting way of talking. I'm always fascinated by the way people talk. The movements of their tongue and their mouth.
It's kind of, yeah. And he also has a funny, yeah, I know what you're saying. I'm always like fascinated by this too. Do you remember that preacher that used to be on TV all the time, Robert Tilton?
Yes. He had like a square head.
Well, it was kind of a rectangular, but it was kind of square.
Yep.
Yeah, but he looked like Frankenstein kind of head.
Yeah.
And he would do this kind of squinting and
I see it.
You know,
and wide mouth.
Yeah, and then he'd make facial expressions.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was, and you'd just be riveted by this because, like, what is this guy? What's wrong with this guy? Well, Larry Summers, same thing.
Yeah, Larry Summers, he talks a little bit like this, like he rolls his mouth around when he's talking. Larry Summers, you know, like that's kind of like that, right?
Yeah.
Larry Summers and Ray Dalio both believe U.S. is headed towards a period of inflation that could impact economic recovery. Basically, the supply chain, big concerns coming that even with higher prices, goods are in short supply and years of higher prices from here. This whole transitory discussion could be in the cards, but probably the spike is temporary. That could be transitory and temporary, but sustained price increases for some time to come. They're both talking about this, and this is kind of what's getting the excitement going. But the other thing, all of a sudden,
the Delta variant
is showing up in Guangdong, a major shipping hub. This is a problem. Have you seen the prices of the cost of ship stuff?
This is very dubious to me.
What part? There's a lot of things.
The whole thing, the event taking place at all.
Oh.
Because it's creating another shortage. It's doing everything. You know, it is just, yeah, it's raising the prices. It's inflationary. It looks like it's a, the Chinese could have done this as a quid pro quo since we've been, hounding them about certain trade policies and threatening them in odd ways. Different sectors have been doing that. I'm skeptical whether this is a scheme.
I mean, the prices are absurd. Just to give you a little bit of a look at this. First of all, this Guangdong Delta variant, the major shipping hub, is about 24% of China's total exports that go out from there. So,
yeah, and I think it's actually a higher percentage of stuff from there that come here.
It may be. Total is 24%, but it could be like 40% that comes to the U.S.
Yeah, it's a high number.
Well, it's also home to the Shenzhen port, the Guangzhou port, which are the third largest and the fifth largest in the world by container volume, according to this World Shipping Council. Now, the recent COVID-19 outbreak, which is the Delta variant, is creating another major headwind. The cost of sending a 40-foot container, which is basically what sits on top of a train, car, right?
Yeah, usually it does the stack double.
Yep. From Asia to Europe just topped $11,000. From Asia to Europe by container ship is $11,000. And that's up from $8,500 last month.
Yeah.
Last month.
And this also seems to be that there's a little geopolitical aspect to this too, is that the Chinese have been pushing the train routes that they're trying to push into Europe to use for these shippings, for the shipping of all products.
How do they get to Europe from China?
They're already there. I think there's trains that go into northern Italy, and they're just across the whole continent, and then they have to change gauges. So they've developed these trains that have dual gauge capability, and they're already running trains into Europe.
Wow. It's a long ride. Long ride.
Yeah, but it's cheaper.
It's cheaper.
And it's pretty direct.
Mm. Well,
and
now
it's faster. It's still faster.
So the problem, though, is that this is going to be a continuing problem because, you know, and by the way, the outbreak that you get in China is like 10 people got it and they closed down everything.
That's what makes it look fake.
Well, they're not messing around. I mean, that is not messing. No. I mean, these guys, they from the beginning, there was a few here or there, and they're like, nope, no good, close it down. You know, there's 50,000.
But that's, you know, we don't really know what they're up to in that regard.
Right.
Because they don't have any information that they give us, and they're not transparent. I think there's some scamish thing about closing down these ports.
I mean, it could be getting back at us for some of the damage that we did supposedly to their economic situation with the tariffs.
Maybe.
Take a moment.
That's a pretty high price, $12,000 for one of those.
It's ridiculous. I think it's going to have to come down, which is why I have something on the stock picks related to that tonight.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. Now, let me mention, I think you probably, hopefully, got this as well. I'm holding in my hand right now at this very moment a bottle of number 14 Vermont Spirits bourbon whiskey finished with pure Vermont maple syrup, all thanks to our good friend Dodge. Did you get one?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Did you have it yet?
No.
I didn't try it yet either. It's such a very
nice package. It's very professional. It's high end. It's the guy's no slouch. Everything about it looks it just looks high end. It looks like an expensive product.
Yeah, brewed in Vermont. This is and Vermont's maple syrup. Well, this is a listener to the show sent this, and he sent, actually, did you get a box full of pictures as well?
No.
He sent me pictures of his dad who, let me see here. Yeah, his dad was in the military, and he's got all these pictures taped to the side of the box of his dad on these.
Oh, I got that. The side of the box is covered with stuff. Yeah. No, it's a very creative box.
I love
it. It's like something my daughter would do.
Yeah, I love it. Let me also mention that we are now talking about Our Crowd for a moment because a lot of people wish they were in early on some of the best performing IPOs of 2019 and 2020. And Our Crowd investors were, and now you can join them in what's next. With Our Crowd, accredited investors have access to invest directly, easily, and most importantly, early. Our Crowd investors have benefited from Our Crowd companies IPOing like Beyond Meat or being bought by companies like Intel and Nike and Microsoft and Oracle. Accredited investors can participate in single company deals for as little as $10,000 or one of Our Crowd's funds for as little as $50,000. And today, you can join Our Crowd's investment in Sephora, an unprecedented innovator in the rapidly growing multi-billion dollar connected mobility markets. And Sephora's mobile platform uses AI and behavioral science to reduce risk, save lives, and ensure accountability for companies and their employees. And you can get in early on Sephora and other unique opportunities at ourcrowd.com/DHU. So if you're interested in investing, all you need to do is join Our Crowd. The Our Crowd account is free. Just go to ourcrowd.com/DHU. And Sephora, by the way, is spelled S-F-A-R-A. Kind of Sephora. Sephora. Mm. Sephora. All right, what do we got next? Oh, I talked about this. Massive crypto. Oh. Here's some numbers on the crypto correction. Do you have any ideas like what some of these things are down from their highs this year? Like Dogecoin, Dogecoin, whatever the hell it is.
I don't follow crypto much. But I would guess 75% wouldn't be a surprising number.
Yep, 80%, which is pretty rough. And it was like, oh, we can handle that correction. That's a normal correction. That's a normal correction. You know, I tweeted just a little while ago, by the way, that a good long-term investment does not have to be talked about every day, does not have to be rationalized constantly, and doesn't have to be pumped all day long. Don't you think that's true?
Yeah, I've been in a couple, and they just go. Takes years, but they go.
Bitcoin and they go is big. Bitcoin down 55%, Cardano down 60%, Ethereum down 62%, Binance down 71%, Ripple down 75%.
Yeah, wait until they all go down 100%, then you got something to talk about.
Then we got to buy the dip. But there's a lot of this, as mentioned, is because China is basically throwing everybody out. Now, of course, this is a wonderful buying opportunity.
Everything's a buying opportunity if you look at the world that way.
Right. Yeah. More on inflation. Rental prices. Single-family rents were up 5.3% year-over-year in April, up from 2.4%. on a year-over-year basis in April 2020. So the largest gain in nearly 15 years. 15 years.
It's too high.
Rents for single-family detached homes, not townhomes, were up 7.9% compared to a year ago. Regionally, by the top 20 metropolitan markets, rent gains were highest in Phoenix. Up 12%.
Phoenix has become a hot real estate market for some reason.
I don't know what that's about. What is that?
I'd like to know why.
What is about that, by the way? Seriously, what is about Phoenix and Arizona people love? I don't get it.
Well, I mean, I've been there. Beautiful. I like it. I like Phoenix. What?
It's beautiful.
No, it's very beautiful. And there's some areas that are very just welcoming. They're nice. But it seems to me to be like a rural kind of a place that should be cheap to live in.
Yeah.
There shouldn't be a run-up in real estate value. I mean, there should be just a normal run-up, 2%, 3%. These things are out of control.
I mean, what's in Arizona? There's golf courses? Seriously.
A
lot of golf courses, mountains.
A lot of retirement places. A lot of hiking.
A lot of hiking, biking.
Desert.
Yeah. Mm. Not, I don't know. Not for me.
Spring baseball. That's about it.
But the next one is Tucson. Tucson is a gain of 10.6%.
It's unbelievable. Why is anyone moving to Tucson? There's a university there. University of Arizona is there. But other than that, and they have a beautiful old church from the 16, 1700s, whenever they had the missionaries, the old mission church. And it's one of the few, if you ever go there, you have to go there. Anyone is in Tucson or goes to Tucson. Because this church is the has the original indoor paint job, which is quite something to see. You can't believe what it looks like, what those churches were designed to do. They're just stunning inside. St. Xavier, I think, is the name of it.
Mm. Then you got Vegas is 9.3% higher than Atlanta. So you have basically Vegas and Arizona right next to each other, right? Same deserty. The only difference
is... Yeah, same, basically the same.
Right, yeah. Right. So, and then you had Atlanta, which had the lowest unemployment rate, came fourth at 9.1%. Yeah. Now, housing prices... Median home prices.
Is that greater Atlanta, though, or just Atlanta proper? Because all the action, real estate action in Atlanta is out in the suburbs.
I think it blends it. You know, it's probably Atlanta, the city. I mean, I don't know if they broke it down by specific.
Whatever the case is too high.
Yep. Medium home prices by region year over year. The Northeast was up 17%. Median price, $384,000 in the Northeast. Midwest, plus 18% year over year. Median price is $268,000. South was up 22%. Go south, $299,000. West, up 24% to $500,000. So that's pretty amazing. Now, one of the things that is occurring right now is we're seeing for a fourth straight month, existing home sales are coming down. From where they were. First of all, you got lack of inventory and prices are out of control. So I think people are saying, you know what, maybe we will slow down the buying. I haven't heard any crazy stories in a few weeks. And I see
well, there's
more
still
houses.
This element of all these banks and investment companies and REITs buying up a lot of houses.
Mm-hmm. There was a story that was BlackRock.
Yeah, BlackRock. They're supposed to be the bad actors in the group.
And they just bought a major company that's involved directly with that and brought it under their umbrella to continue buying and then renting out.
Yeah, we have like two or three people here in the Bay Area that do TV ads. You know, John buys houses and some other group, and they're just, well, I'll buy your house whether you like it or not. You know, it'll be falling apart. I'll give you money.
And what they do is rehabilitate it. To a degree or not, and then rent it out. And we talked about life as a service. The whole idea is to bring it all to monthly payments, your entire life. No more ownership of anything.
Yeah. So you have no assets whatsoever.
This Zero.
Is probably the most contrary move sociologically to this show that we're doing, which discourages that sort of thing. We think you should have assets. And more assets.
Maybe that is another area that DeSantis is kind of really making a mark on, because he had to disclose his personal net worth and it was like $285,000. So maybe he's just advancing the idea of no ownership.
No assets.
Yeah, maybe it's not... Maybe we've got it wrong. Maybe he's really making the charge for the next wave of how things are going to go. No ownership. Don't save money. Yeah, 300. Can you believe that? DeSantis, 300,000?
Well, Joe Biden, before he became vice president, had some number like that.
Right.
They just live on. They live, their assets are. Which I, by the way, think is bogus because he had a couple of big pieces of property that were worth money. They live on cash flow and they somehow keep an asset ratio that's really odd. I don't know how they managed to do it, to be honest. Yeah, I mean, just pretty much doing nothing, you're accumulating wealth.
Yeah, I don't understand either. DeSantis seemed a little off to me.
Yeah.
I mean, he only makes $135,000 a year being the governor.
Yeah, but he gets a lot of gubernatorial perks.
Yeah, clearly. You should be able to bank all that money.
Yes, you should be able to take. Yes, exactly.
So you're going to bank all that money. 1 year is $135,000.
He has my governor's mansion he lives in. He doesn't pay for that. That's expensive. It's a big place. He also has expenses for just about everything he does.
Right.
And he's got an entourage and he's got free transportation to wherever he wants to go. So what does he need any money for?
It's crazy.
Yeah. Hmm. So in 4 years, he should have at least almost a half a million, which is twice as much as he apparently declared. So no.
Do you wonder, maybe I'm off on this. But do you ever wonder if someone has very little assets, if they're really equipped to run the country?
Well, that's what the argument would be if I was running against him.
I mean, you have a situation where there's some discussion about, let's just use taxes, corporate taxes. And someone, you could know what all about it, but I'm just thinking that maybe.
Well, you have to assume that if you're a governor, you can run the country because you're running a state.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
You're just not running your own personal finances the way that you and I would like to see it.
Maybe.
But if you can run the state, you can run the government. It's just like, you know, I mean, I could see making some arguments. Well, I've dedicated my life to public service, and so I didn't accumulate a lot of wealth.
That's it. That is what they said.
Oh, that's what he said.
That's pretty much what they said. Say? That's what the article was all surrounded around him. You know, he's dedicated this. He's been doing that.
Yeah, that's what you do. That's what Biden pulled that stunt off. Mm. He became president. Mm. So,
Michael Saylor is back in the news. You know, he's constantly in the news. This is the guy that runs MicroStrategy, and he's running in right into the round, in my opinion. He issued debt, convertible securities, and even secondaries on his stock to buy more Bitcoin. Last week, they bought more than $500 million worth of coins, 13,000 coins. My calculation, he's down about 4,000 plus a coin. He's down about, I think it was 65, whatever I calculated, was down $65 million on the purchase. This morning, he was down $120 million plus massive losses from the peak. That's just today. And there was also an article that he's going to be probably required to take about a $75 to $80 million write down on the latest purchase of Bitcoin. But this guy came out and said, hey, if you can mortgage your house, do it, buy Bitcoin. If you can go out and put all this money in your credit cards, go out and do it. If you can sell your business and keep on running it, but somehow take money in it and mortgage it and leverage it, do it and buy Bitcoin. I'm telling you.
Did he follow that final sentence with, because I got to get out somehow?
Yeah. You know, he's never selling. He's never doing this. And you watch this guy and he's creepy as hell. But you watch him and these people are like, oh, it's like Reverend Saylor. You know, they watch him like he's some god because he believes in this thing. Like, oh, I believe in it. If I believe in it, it's going to happen. No. I want a Whopper right now, buddy. I'm not here. Everybody with me. Everybody listen. Andrew wants a Whopper. Think it. No, not here. So,
well, don't think. Give it another minute or two. It might show up. You hear a knock on the.
You never know. Facebook now coming out with podcasts and audio rooms as of today. I think, as a matter of fact. Said on Monday that it's launching its own Clubhouse style live audio. So just to put this in the right perspective, you can't do anything anymore in the world of technology because somebody will steal it right away if it works. Right?
That's not new.
That's not new, but it's overt now. It's like, yeah, oh, you did Clubhouse got popular? Give us 3 months. We'll come up with it on our own. So
yeah, it's a little late to the game since Clubhouse's popularity seems to be waning.
Totally waning.
Massively.
Totally. Right.
Yeah. It's a dumb idea.
Yep. And they're also going to be playing podcasts on their platform, which I don't know what's so new about that either, marking a push into social audio by the world's largest social media network. So listeners will be able to send Facebook virtual currency. This was interesting. They have a virtual currency stars to creators in live audio rooms. This is kind of, Adam, talking to you here. Zuckerberg said the company will not take a cut on the creator revenue until 2023. So there's some kind of virtual currency called stars.
Yeah, they wanted to do a Bitcoin clone. some time ago, if you recall.
You know, this is
a crypto.
They call them.
So that, I don't, and then he never executed it. So now I think they got this other idea.
That was the Libra project.
Yeah, that's right.
So, but stars, look at the letters there for a second. Just bear with me, okay? On podcast 2.0, you send what? Sats, right? Sats.
Yeah.
This is the same letters with an R.
It is.
Same letters with an R. R stands for ripoff, by the way, just a point of reference. So this is stars. If you kind of twist around the letters, it's sats. Same thing that Curry's working on, don't you think?
Kinda. Mm. Although Curry's so far along, I don't know how they're going to catch up. Do you know how many podcasts using 2.0?
Oh, Benny.
The 2.0 system?
Huge. Huge.
3.5 million.
Is that what I thought? Really? Didn't it get to 4? I thought it was getting close to 4.
Well, it might be up to 4 by now. The last solid number I know is 3.5 million.
Okay,
good luck catching up with that. That's like a, he's way out ahead. I mean, it's ludicrous.
That there are 4 million podcasts is a whole different discussion.
That what?
The fact that there are 4 million podcasts.
Yeah, I know. It's outrageous. And they're inviting more. Come on, people, get on board. We need more podcasts.
What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for?
The only ones that update, I keep these numbers. The only ones that update consistently is about 400,000. Those are real podcasts. Mm. The other ones are all, you know, I'm a podcaster. I did a podcast kind of podcast.
I mean,
they
registered. I know Curry started this whole thing. You know, I give him all props for it, and it's great, unbelievable, you know, the Podfather and stuff like that. But I think you and I were a big part of this as well. Early day creators, don't you think?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Anyway, now public figures in certain Facebook groups in the United States are using iOS to be able to create live audio rooms with 50 speakers and unlimited listeners. And they can invite people with without a verified badge to speak. It's like they take a little bit from Twitter, take a little bit from Clubhouse, take a little bit from Podcasting 2.0.
It's crazy.
Unbelievable. And a number of select podcasts will also be available on Facebook to U.S. listeners. And let's look up Facebook podcast right now, okay? Doing this live. Let's see what it has. Facebook officially launched Facebook about live audio rooms podcast on Facebook being heard. This is something here about being heard. Storytelling.
I'd be doing this with you, but I haven't got a Facebook account.
I'm not even Facebook. Podcasts are coming. I want to see if there's a link here somewhere. No. God forbid.
You can't even execute that well.
Podcast is Facebook, podcast community, Facebook groups, podcast community. Yeah. Welcome. I don't know. It's not even here. Who knows where
Epic
it is.
Epic fail.
Yeah. You got to work on your SEO a little bit there, Facebook. All right. Olympics. A lot going on in Japan. The organizer, we can kind of keep on talking a little bit about this because there's a lot of money involved in this for Japan, for Tokyo, of course. Organizers of the Tokyo 2020 Olympics on Monday capped the number of spectators at 10,000 people per venue, which that seems like a lot.
Well, some of those stadiums they build is like, will hold 20, 30, 40,000, I think.
Well, what if there is a 5,000 person venue? Let's say the diving facility. Okay?
That sounds about, small.
And if you have a cap of 10,000, you only can still have a 50% capacity. So then you can only have 2,500, which is still pretty busy there. Every other seat.
Yeah. Sounds okay.
Yeah. Well, this is a big issue.
Masked up and they're going to be wearing blue gloves.
But still, at 50% capacity, a lot of people are not going to go. And that's a huge amount of revenue loss for the city.
Yeah, but the broadcast rights and all the rest of it around the world make up for it, I'm sure.
The
city's going to lose out.
Have you heard about that when you go to the Olympics, in some Olympics, they pass out condoms? There's rampant sex going on in Olympic Village. Do you know this?
I've heard this. It sounds like, maybe. Mm.
I like to believe it.
You think these guys can buy their own damn condoms?
I like to believe it, okay? You know? What are you specializing in? Gymnastics. Oh, I thought you were a swimmer. Oh, I thought you were talking about the after hours. Working the horse. All right, John, this is for you. This is important because this is your area of expertise. The headline, Hold on. The headline. China wants to build up its wine country into one that could rival France's Bordeaux.
But yeah, they've been talking about this for quite some time. They have wine growing areas now, and they can actually make the wine. They can actually make good quality wine. They have the right conditions, and they do make credible whites. Their white wines are, which reminds me a little bit of South Africa when I went there, which was 25 years ago.
South Africa, they have the Pinotage is a red. They're very popular there, and they're also big in their Sauvignon Blancs and their Chardonnays.
Chardonnay grows well there. The Chardonnay, I think it grows pretty well in China too. And they'll probably be growing some other whites like Albarino and some of these things that are South American. Their reds are just the worst. And I've had a number of them.
They're not ready. They're just not ready.
They have the wherewithal. So I could see them doing it. I think it'd be the great thing because they got it. They've been sucking up Bordeaux wines. Jacking, making the prices go skyrocketing. Their old Bordeaux's, I mean, except for the small operations, but all the good high-end Bordeaux's are way too expensive because China just sucked them up.
Well, here's what they say.
For no good reason.
By 2035, Ninhua's Helan Mountains, the area aims to produce 600 million bottles of wine worth 20 billion yuan. Well, $3.1 billion, according to the plan the central government approved in May. Now, just to put that in perspective, the region along the Yellow River is about 2 hours' flight from Beijing and lies in a latitude similar to that of France's famed wine country. Now, last year, Ningguo's wine exports rose 46% to 2.65 million yuan, about a total of $414,000. So they want to go from $414,000 by 2035 to $3.12 billion.
Yeah, they can do it too.
Pretty impressive.
That's what the Chinese can do. They can do stuff like that. Mm-hmm. It's just frightening. You know, the problem they're going to have is they have various drinks in China that goes well with their food. And Bordeaux wine isn't one of them. And they're going to have to, I don't know what they're going to do about that. This is the problem. I mean, who are they going to sell this wine to? They're going to have to export most of it. I'm assuming, because their cuisine is not amenable to Bordeaux in almost any sense.
Yeah. Lo Mein and Egg Foo Young does not go well with the Bordeaux. I will tell you that you have crabs and black bean sauce. You get a good Qingdao. All good.
Now you could have a rosés, especially lighter and even sweeter ones, and whites will all go fine with Chinese food. But red Bordeaux, no. It just doesn't work.
I believe you. I once had a Gergich Hill. This was a tremendous Cabernet Sauvignon. 1982 Gergich Hill Cabernet Sauvignon. I had a case of it. And one night I got in the mood to have it. So I drank a little glass. I ordered Chinese food. I ate the Chinese food. I refilled my glass. I drank part of that glass, and I was disgusted.
Yeah.
It just ruined. The whole thing was just gone. Gone.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you could have refreshed your palate and finished the wine off with some cheese, and you'd been happy. But no, it doesn't work. Mm.
Let's talk a little bit about vaccine tracking. It's a thing that's going on right now because this is actually going to affect the economy in an interesting way. And of course, I think there's some inflation pressures here and all, but it's also this whole supply chain issue with all sorts of things. So now we're talking about the garlic farms. You know, we don't talk about, I don't think we've ever talked about garlic farms ever.
Nope.
So here's the deal. Garlic farms important because they grow garlic. We all love garlic. And, you know, any recipe that puts in a question of how much garlic to put in. It's just whatever it is, plus more. There's never enough garlic in a recipe, right? Never enough.
Well, you can use a lot of garlic.
So America's largest garlic farm needs 1,000 workers to harvest its annual crop. But here's the problem. It now must document and track the COVID-19 vaccine status for the seasonal laborers. So the government wants to mandate a vaccine.
Where is this giant farm?
It's somewhere in the Midwest. I want to say Missouri, Minnesota, maybe.
I would think that they'd have farm machinery that would pull the garlic out of the ground. I mean, what do they need to hand harvest garlic for? That makes no sense to me.
Well, maybe they're not hand harvesting the garlic, but maybe what they're doing is post-pulling. Maybe they're planting. I don't know. They're doing something. For whatever reason, there's 1,000 workers that need to be hired. So it's going to be more cost in the system. There's a concern that you're going to have a mandate on the vaccine, fine, but then requiring them to police it. Now, yeah, what they're doing is requiring state mandate to police private businesses.
This is not right.
Terrible. It's not just garlic farms. It's the concept of what's going on. The garlic farm is one example. It's not like there was a direct, hey, garlic farmers. You know, that wasn't how it went.
You guys are screwed. Hey, this only law stinks.
Now, in another part of the cycle of craziness, American Airlines on Sunday said it's going to cancel around 1% of its flights in July to serve a surprise uptick in travel demand. So let me just restate that. Surprise uptick in travel demand, and they're cutting flights. Weird.
That's a wise idea. Create another shortage.
Right. So they said they will move to bring additional resilience.
Jack the prices up. Oh, mm-hmm. No.
Did we, I don't know if we talked about this last week. We were all excited that the cruises can go on in Florida. You know, that they said that they weren't going to require,
Yeah, we talked about it last show, and then I've been listening to different reports about this, and now they're trying to, you know, yeah, you can get on the boat, but now you're going to be quarantined or shoved over into special quarters, and you have to live there with other creeps that didn't get the vaccine.
Yeah.
This is nonsense. I wouldn't go on these things at all.
Unvaccinated guests, 16 and up, will have to pay $136 for onboard testing. Some events and venues will be restricted to vaccinated guests only. Boy, isn't this creepy? This is so creepy. It's like, are you vaccinated? Well, yes, I have a band. Look at my band. You walk around, it's kind of, I don't know, you know, it's kind of like...
Like a yellow star.
That's I wasn't going to say it, but that's what I was thinking. Totally what I was thinking. You are bad. Mayor Suarez from Miami, who is very excited about Bitcoin. Here's what's interesting about this. He's trying to bring the Bitcoin miners that are being thrown out of Japan, who already, I think, have set up shop in like Azerbaijani or somewhere. Where was that? Some
supposed to ship the Chinese ones to Texas for some reason.
Well, that too. The Texas and Miami, I think they're hoping for this is going to be the case.
Azerbaijan. Azerbaijan. That's a good one.
Yeah, that's what it is. So they said that, well, we have nuclear power, which is very inexpensive. And, you know, the miners can utilize that. So first of all, I was thinking, are we even letting Chinese people into our country right now? Isn't there a travel restriction still?
I don't know. I have no idea what the restrictions are, but I don't think they're just going to let a bunch of Chinese come over here willy-nilly just to sort of do mining in Texas. It makes no sense.
With servers and a server farm on their back.
We'll bring our own computers.
The server farm strapped to their backs, right?
Yeah, a bunch of blades.
Yeah, here's a bottle of our best Bordeaux. Let us in. So the mayor is also considering a mix of other incentives, like enterprise zone specifically for crypto mining. Why do we need this? What do we need this for? Tax concessions, infrastructure incentives, scale back regulations, with hope that the breaks will encourage investments and create jobs. What you bring a room full of computers, you need, I don't know, a couple of security guards and maybe a couple guys that can run the cooling systems.
Not going to pack them in for jobs, that's for sure.
Yeah, we're going to be coming here with our crypto thing. We'll be hiring 4 people for this new thing. Thank you, Mayor Suarez, for giving us a tax-free zone for 10 years. I mean, it's ridiculous. Ridiculous. Billionaire Mark Cuban, he was whacked. He is hit by a cryptocurrency token market crash on Wednesday. the Iron Titanium Token, or Titan, fell from $60 on June 16th to just over zero on Thursday morning. He's like, maybe we need regulation.
There's a guy whose investment advice I'm not going to listen to.
Maybe we should have regulation now. Like, you know, before, no regulation. Markets will regulate themselves. Lose a few million. Maybe we need regulation. Terrible. Yeah,
that's always the way these guys are. They squeal like stuck pigs.
Yep. Embattled electric truck company Lordstown Motors, symbol RIDE, or RIDE. Remember what happened? I want to take you through this for a real quick moment here. A couple of weeks ago, they came out with a going concern letters, meaning that they didn't think they had the money to keep going, to produce cars, to do anything they need to do. Okay?
Yeah, and it was, I remember this.
Yep, and that was a big thing. Well, now we have a new chairwoman who has a peachy outlook. She says, it's a new day at Lordstown, and there are no disruptions. And there will be no disruptions to our day-to-day operations, he said during a webcast for the Automobile Press Association. She said, we remain committed to inspiring, building, and maintaining confidence and transparency in our relationships with each other at Lordstown. And very importantly, with our customers, partners, and suppliers and shareholders, saying that things are all of a sudden good. Now, all of a sudden, they're coming out with they are looking for a partner to fund them. This is total BS. The movement, what's going on. You know, you have the first thing is that there's a going concern letter. Executives leave, the CFO leaves, the CEO leaves, new chairwoman comes in and says, hey, everything's fine. I don't know what you're talking about. Crazy.
Huh.
I have a very scary, I want you to, I don't like to freak you out. And I don't like to like scare you in some horrific thought. But I want to share this with you that may make you crazy. Facebook, on Wednesday, announced that it will begin testing advertisements that will appear within the company's Oculus virtual reality headset. Could you imagine this?
Yeah, actually, I can. And I know the background where this idea came from. This goes back years. The idea is, and I think you can find this example or exemplified with, what's it called, Half-Life or Second Life?
Second Life.
Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Which still operates, I believe. I don't know. And so you go into your Oculus world and you're walking down the street. There's a billboard. The billboard's got an ad on it. You're walking down the street. There's a television. You go past a television store and you look over at the TVs that are playing television and you see talking heads and it cuts to an ad. It's all part of the world. It's part of the actual, like the world that you would have been in anyway.
Well, this is so where from Second Life is where we get the IRL. You know, you gotta, are we in a simulation or are we in real life? The problem is even in the simulation, we gotta have advertising.
It's because in real life, there's advertising. That's the argument. I know the history of this. So they're thinking, you know, in real life, there's advertising. You're floating around this virtual world. Well, it's supposed to be just like real life, only it's a different world. Hey, there's advertising in there. There's billboards, there's posters, there's things you'll see on the side of the wall that's an ad. There's people with spray paint, you know, something, you know, buy, you know, Friskies. I'm not as kind of upset about this as you seem to be.
I just find it terrible that I'm going to be strapped into something that can't
get out. They're just beaming an ad into your brain.
That's what I'm saying. It's all I can think about.
It's a little more subtle than that.
All I can think about.
Yeah. That's funny. Yeah.
This is a game that we play. It's not a solicitation to buy or sell any security. It's not a recommendation of any kind. Nothing on the show should be considered investment advice or a recommendation. If you choose to invest in any of the stocks mentioned, you should know that it may carry risk, along with the risk of a loss of principal. You should also seek out professional financial advice for your particular situation. We assume no risk as these are not to be considered recommendations. Horowitz Company, myself, or John C. Dvorak may invest in any of the securities mentioned, and we'll disclose that on the website under the weekly stock picks section. You can go to dhunplugged.com and see all the names we discuss in the segment, along with the performance information from the date discussed, as well as any additional important disclosures. Yep. What do we got?
Yeah, we got a lot of, we had some kind of a mixed bag. All the early stuff, of course, is still hanging in there with ridiculous, except for Spider Gold Trust, ridiculous gains. It's just astonishing. The ventilation is still up over 100%.
So, I mean, it looks like the MJ stocks are going to be pulled out soon, which is kind of interesting. That kind of talks about the meme, what the players are doing in their Reddit groups. Pfizer is up 1.2%. We said we did that on a joint for boosters. Interesting, the yields play, which was looking to have the long end of the curve move up, is now sinking down. Look at that, down 10.24%. And we have inflation and a hawkish Fed. Kind of fascinating. It's fascinating.
That is weird. Yeah.
Morphic Holdings up 21%. Select Biosciences up 2%. Tattooed Chef down 7%. And Inviva Partners, which was your insiders last week, is up slightly. I'm going to pick AP Moller Maersk. AP Moller Maersk.
You're going to short it.
I wish Adam was here. He could say that. He'd probably say that. It's AP Morgan Maersk. So I'm going to short that. That is the shippers that probably prices have gotten out of control.
One of them.
Maybe a little early for this, but I'm going to do it anyway.
You're going to short them.
Yep.
I'm going to short GameStop.
Oh, is it? What is this? What number are we at?
I think it's be number 8 or 9.
Seven. Last I had was go against 7, so it's go again 8.
Yes, go again 8.
Again 8.
Made money every time but once.
Yep. Short. Is that the only one?
Yeah, I couldn't find anything else worth a powder.
23. Did you have a nice Father's Day? Did you get anything? Did anything happen nice to you?
I finally got a cheese slicer.
Oh, one of those with a
good
little
one.
A knife one or one with a like a piece of thin
the razor the wire.
Oh, the wire. Oh yeah,
but
nice.
Not a cheap one, a really good one.
With like a marble base.
This is what I want. So I asked for two things. I wanted the cheese slicer and a pocket knife.
Did you get the pocket knife?
Yeah, I really wanted the high end. There's a bunch of these high end pocket knives out there. They cost like a lot.
I had two of them. I was looking at today in my office. Somebody brought in one was $300, but one of those you push a button, it slams the knife out.
Oh, that's illegal in California.
And another one that was just very sharp.
I guarantee it wasn't $300. I'm thinking more like 40, which seems high to me for a pocket knife. But
I got an ashtray.
Well, you don't even smoke.
I smoke cigars. I got an ashtray.
Oh, you do. Right, right.
And I got one of these really very intense massager things where you could it's like a sledgehammer.
I've seen those are the big giant ones. I've seen those in a lot of porn.
Oh, wow. Okay.
They use them for other things than massaging.
Well, that's not what's happening here. But anyway, point is I got that. So it was very nice. Did some time on the boat. Went to, you know, to spend time with the family. It was very nice overall. Very nice.
Oh, good.
So, all right, I will, I guess, talk to you next Tuesday.
All right. Sounds like a winner. All
right, bye.
All right. Bye.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pocket, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a man. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, because I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.
Advertisements are not related to the host or affiliates and are not considered recommendations by the host of the show or any affiliates of Horowitz & Company.